Well, it was actually. I'm a physicist primarily in it was turning into a technology by 1956. I had an offer to go out with Gordon Teal in Texas. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not sure how I'd get along with the Texas psyche. The Texans are a breed apart. The position was manager of engineering. And I don't consider myself an engineer in the administrative sense of the word. But anyway, in Cleveland, they made me a very interesting offer of called the Lamp Research Lab, which was researching a lot of different fields. So here I get more variety. There would be research, same ideas that I was talking about earlier. And it kept that character as long as I was there, actually. But as managers changed at the top and as budgets got pinched more and more, that disappeared more and more. And in fact, the laboratory, thanks to Neutron Jack, you know who I mean, the building's there, but I don't know if there's anybody in it even anymore. But for some 20 to 25 years, it was, 15 more years anyhow. That was a good way to work it. And anyway, they have all, you have electron emission. Mm-hmm. You expect the cathode, you worry about residual gases messing up the cathode of a tube. You're operating the fluorescent lamp cathode in several millimeters of rare gas, several millitors, I should say, and plus mercury at its vapor pressure. You get these heavy mercury ions flying around. Mm-hmm. And you expect that thing to last for 10,000-20,000 hours. There's some things to learn about that. And a whole bunch of other things. Also, for a while we were concerned with what we called then light-emitting diodes. Mm-hmm. And the GE miniature lamp people actually had an effort in that for a while, and we were supporting them in the lab. We made some silicon carbide junctions. We produced crystals of silicon carbide and made junctions out of them, and they would emit a yellowish-green light instead of the red light that most of the junctions did. Turns out, I had a to-do with our applications guy. I said, well, we'll just measure the lumens. That's the amount of light. That's what we're after. But if you have a yellowish light, it's not near as noticeable as a red light. Mm-hmm. Even if the red has a lot fewer lumens in it. And he had not taken into account noticeability. And that was, so we worked on that a lot longer than I think we should have. But there are all sorts of things that really involve basic physics that isn't understood. Well, Irving Langmuir wasn't, and Coolidge were not at the research lab, were not above working with tungsten. Really, their main contribution was to figure out how to make it so it wouldn't sag when it gets hot. Mm-hmm. Crystals grew. That's just the purpose is down to earth as you like, but the science behind it is good and basic. Mm-hmm. That's what we were trying to do with various lamp phenomena. Mm-hmm. Phosphors were another one. Lamp phosphors. Right after the war, well, not right after the war, but earliest good lamp phosphor was zinc beryllium silicate. Well, that's fine, except it's made of beryllium oxide. They discovered later on that beryllium oxide is a extreme poison to other people, some people, but not all people. Hmm. And when they got out of it, there's brush beryllium in town right in Cleveland. They fought. They said, we did everything we knew, and we didn't know enough, and too bad. So they didn't lose any lawsuits. Now, in today's climate, they probably would lose lawsuits. GE went the other way. They told people, look, all of you in this building have been exposed because some typists clear at the other end of the building came down with borreliosis. It essentially gives you a super arthritis. It collects in your joints and stuff. Hmm. Some other places too, but that's one place I noticed it. Here's a guy in the factory business, where they're actually firing the stuff, mixing shovelfuls of stuff. It's in the air. You know it's in the air. He wasn't sensitive, she was. She said, some of you have been exposed, some of you already had symptoms, we've been taking over their medical thing. What we would like you to do is submit to an annual physical exam for any symptoms at all. We'll give you the very best preventative medicine to, known at that time to try to keep the symptoms from getting any worse. Because I guess there's no hope for removing it from your system. And I said, we're going to work with you, but just keep, let us keep measuring, check on you. And they regard that as really a good faith thing. That's, you know, not like some of them are going to have an uncomfortable rest of their lives, but they knew at least he was going to do everything he possibly could without any further obligation to do it. And the medical guy there eventually became, I think, if top management did the right thing for the right reason. I'm not sure how good an overall GE medical administrator he was, but he was entitled to some real recognition because he kept that from ever being an issue just by being as good as it possibly could to people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of places in GE people did that. Well, they were very good to me, although I didn't really require any special treatment. Just trusting me was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I only ever missed one day because of illness, flu, and I only ever missed one day on account of an accident because I did fall over an unmarked step at coming out of the building, fell on my back, and got a compression fracture. And I could have worked my hour a little bit differently, and if I had been present in both halves that one day, I wouldn't have any. That was the only thing was even more remotely related to polio. So a lot of people in GE trying to do the right thing. As a stockholder, I'm grateful to Jack Welch for making the company so profitable, but it's not the same company to work for that it used to be.